Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, second class, January 26, 2025, Romans.
As we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 8, verse 7 so far sounds like this. Because the mindset on the sin nature, controlled by the sin nature, is hostility against God. It makes you the enemy of God. That brings us to what the Bible has to say about enemyship. Point one, definition. Definition. Subpoint one, enemyship is the status quo of the carnal reversionistic believer who has made himself the enemy of God. Enemyship is the status quo of the carnal reversionistic believer who has made himself the enemy of God. Two, the Bible specifies by categories certain hostilities and or alienations. The Bible specifies by category certain hostilities and or alienations. Three, alienation means to be well acquainted with someone and not like them at all. Alienation means to be well acquainted with someone and not like them at all. Four, hostility means not knowing someone and not liking them at all. Five, there is both personal and historical enemyship. Example, illustration. An example of personal enemyship existed between Esau and Jacob. Twins. Esau and Jacob, personal enemyship. An example of historical enemyship exists between the Arabs and the Jews. So there is both personal and historical enemyship. Six, there is also angelic enemyship. Angelic enemyship. 7. Satan is constantly seeking to gain his objectives by means of hatred and arrogance. That's his cosmos diabolicus. That's his cosmic system for ruling planet Earth. He's got a system he invented to rule. He's the ruler of planet Earth. He's ruling right now. But he is constantly seeking to gain his objectives through hate. Hate, hatred, and arrogance. So he has developed this cosmic system made up of cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance, and cosmic two, interlocking systems of hatred. That's definition. Point two, categories of enemyship related to the spiritual life. Categories of enemyship related to the spiritual life. First, Satan and all fallen angels are said to be the enemy of God. Satan and all fallen angels are said to be the enemy of God. The name Satan itself, both in the Hebrew and the Greek, is a transliteration of the words, both in Hebrew and Greek, that means adversary. Satan is the word adversary. And in the Word of God, the God-breathed scriptures, Satan is only the adversary in a very special sense. That is, he is the enemy of God, and he is the enemy of all those who belong to God. All of you, all of the royal family of God. So, two, Satan is specifically the enemy of Jesus Christ. The enemy of Christ. In fact, he tried to prevent the incarnation and virgin birth of Christ. After that took place, he tried to kill Jesus Christ as an infant. Turn over to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. He had tried and he failed. Revelation 12. Revelation 12, start at verse 3. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon. Now, let's just hold it for verse 3. Now go down to verse 9. Who's the red dragon? The great dragon, I'll be doggone. There he is, verse 9. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who deceives the whole world. Well, that's who we're talking about here, Satan, the devil or Satan. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept 1/3 of the stars out of the sky. The stars represent other angels. 1/3 of the angelic realm joined him in his revolution against God and flung them to earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman. The woman represents Israel, who was about to give birth. And what is Satan's objective? So that he might devour her child the moment that it was born. He is the enemy of Christ. He had all babies 2 years old and under put to death in the attempt to kill Jesus Christ as an infant. So he's the enemy of Christ. 3. All fallen angels, all demons are said to be the enemy of God. 1 Corinthians 15:25, Hebrews 10:13. So all fallen angels. Satan is a fallen angel. He has a huge army underneath him, and They all are the enemy of God. Four, unbelievers are the enemies of God. Unbelievers are the enemies of God. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if, when we were God's enemies, and that's when we were in the status as unbelievers. As unbelievers, we were all the enemies of God. If, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? In our status as unbelievers, we were the enemy of God. Turn over to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, let's start at verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies. Well, that's when our status as unbelievers. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation. So, unbelievers, as unbelievers, we were the enemies of God. Five, both categories of enemies of God, fallen angels and unbelievers, will be judged under condemnation in the lake of fire. Both categories of the enemies of God, fallen angels and unbelievers, will be judged condemnation by the lake of fire. Now, first of all, we'll start at a path of year. I'm sure most of you know it. Maybe you've memorized it. I know you know John 3:16. Do you know John 3:18? You all know John 3:16. For God loved the world so much, He gave His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him will never perish but have eternal life. Now, verse 18. However, whoever believes in Him is not condemned, not under condemnation and judgment. But whoever does not believe, no faith in Christ for salvation, stands condemned under condemnation and judgment already because he has not believed in the name of God's uniquely born Son. Now turn over to Matthew, Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, let's start at verse 31. And you see that if you have a red letter edition, the Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, second advent, and all the angels with Him, elect angels, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep, representing all believers, on His right, and He will put the goats, representing unbelievers, on His left. Now, verse 41. Then He will say to those on His left, all unbelievers, depart from Me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 26. If we willfully keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, that is, the grace gospel has been given and you said no to it, if we willfully keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. If a person rejects the truth of Christ's death on the cross for their sins, there is no other sacrifice for sin available and no other way to come to God. Only judgment remains. Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. Point six. The carnal believer becomes a temporary enemy of God by being out of fellowship with God. And that's our passage, Romans 8, 7 and 8. The carnal believer becomes a temporary enemy of God by being out of fellowship with God. Seven. The reversionistic believer makes himself the enemy of God, and that's James 4:4, which we saw at the end of class in our first class. The reversionistic believer makes himself the enemy of God. Why? Because of his friendship and living in Satan's cosmic system. Cosmos diabolicus. Satan has invented the cosmic system, the cosmos. And the reversionistic believer is a friend of the cosmos. James 4:4, making himself the enemy of God. 8, the reversionistic believer is also called the enemy of the cross. He's also called the enemy of the cross. The Apostle Paul declares that, Philippians 3. So turn over to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 18. The reversionistic believer is called the enemy of the cross. Philippians 3, verse 18. Philippians 3, 18. For as I have often told you before, and now I say again, even with tears, and the toughest man in the Word of God. I don't see anybody in the Word of God tougher than Paul. But he had people that he gave the grace gospel to, and they believed in Christ. And then for a while they were positive. and were growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and then they reacted to something Paul said or how he said it. He pounded the pulpit. Every time I pound the pulpit, I think of Ron Breckel. When he would say, "Thus saith the Lord!" And when he said that, his face would get bright red. His hair was white. His eyes were blue. Red, white, and blue. We all stood up and sang the national anthem. You know. But he would pound the pulpit. "Thus saith the Lord!" Some people react to that. Well, my mother, when I gave her the colonel's tape, I said, "Mom, you're going to love this guy." She listened to it. I said, "Well, what did you think? What did you think?" "Well, he didn't have to yell." But did you hear what he was yelling about? That's the main thing. You've got to listen to what he's yelling about. Well, they reacted to Paul, peeled off, started making bad decisions, and Paul says they made themselves the enemies of the cross. "For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many, many believers are living as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction." That's the sin unto death. "Their God is their emotions, and their glory is to their shame at the judgment seat of Christ. Their minds are totally preoccupied with earthly things." Not God and His Word, but earthly things. 9. The pastor who counters legalism with grace and truth is considered the enemy of the legalist. The pastor who, he's a faithful pastor who studies and teaches and studies and teaches and teaches the grace and truth of the Word of God, who counters legalism as being totally wrong, is considered the enemy of the legalist. Turn over to Galatians 4. Now the big issue that the Apostle Paul was dealing with in Galatians is legalism. Legalism. All throughout Galatians, it's a great, great epistle. In Galatians 4, verse 16, Paul says, "Have I now become your enemy?" Have I, Paul, become your enemy by teaching you the truth? Paul taught them truth. Paul taught them grace and truth. And because he taught grace and truth and they were steeped in legalism, why, he became their enemy. Legalists hate the teaching of grace. Legalists hate the teaching of grace. So, back to verse 7, "Because the mindset on the sin nature, controlled by the sin nature, is hostility against God. It makes you the enemy of God." And then it says, "For it is not subject to the law of God." And that's where we're going to start next week. Not subject to the law of God. Now, we have right after class, congregational meeting, next Sunday, communion service. So we'll take a short break, give the triumvirate a chance to get up here and bring you up to date in our congregational meeting.